gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Phone number toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. As I was saying at the top of the hour, wearing my Detroit hat in solidarity with the workers of Michigan. Also my Boogity Cheese T-shirt, because DC Sexy Liberal just got a little bit sexier.
Really?
I was telling Jackie at the top of the hour, it's a total squee. Well, not only, first of all, Squee, Jim and Chris, and Jackie are going to open the show.
I've been told to wear something tight.
All four sexy liberals, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler, and me, and then two huge, so it's going to be a liberal orgasm. It really is. It's going to be the liberal orgasm. People, am I right? Is the audience going to lose their...
They're going to lose, they're going to go ape dump.
Two huge surprise celebrity guests.
I'm going to go ape dump meeting these people.
This is where you say, is it the president?
Oh, is it the president?
Yes, it's the president.
It is not the president.
Stop asking that. I did for a moment, Jim.
Is it Hillary?
He doesn't have to get reelected. Why couldn't he do the teabagging demonstration? Why not? That would feel like that would end up on Fox News.
Is it Hillary?
It could be.
Is she going to be doing the...
She's definitely going to run for something. She can't be seen anywhere near any of us.
It's Hillary Smith. She's a waitress down the street.
Ah, yes.
All right. Oh, looky here. Kimberly sent us a picture of her with the president. Steph, can't wait to see you all January 19th. Rosie, meet and grope, woot.
Whoa.
Wow. Ooh. And yes, President Obama does smell like cookies and freedom. This was from my birthday this year at an Obama event in Maryland. That was, well, Aisha Tyler, one of her many quotable phrases,
right.
The president smells like cookies and freedom.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And that line that we play in the promo, the get me some more bourbon bitches, I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
We don't even know what that's from. She's just hilarious.
And we laugh every
we
single
We laugh every time.
Time
we hear it. I don't remember what the routine was
maybe
about.
Maybe she's doing her John Boehner impression. That's
something like that.
Not sure.
All right, very few tickets left. I would go now.
4 years ago, we witnessed the first inauguration of President Barack Obama. In November, America decided one term just wasn't enough. This time around, Stephanie Miller and her team of two-term comics are coming to make this a party D.C. will never forget. On January 19th, just 2 days before Obama's second inauguration, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and the goddess of liberals, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, and if you want to skip the fees, stop by the Warner Theater box office at 513 13th Street Northwest. The teabaggers lost in November, so Stephanie is going to do her thing before the inaugural ball.
That means two things.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live in D.C. Inauguration Weekend. For more information, go to sexyliberal.com.
All right. Thank you, kids.
I'm guessing there's no teabagging at the inaugural balls.
Excuse me?
That means
two things. That's my How bally will the balls be this year? The president's only going to be at three of them, I'm told, this
really?
Time. Really? Yeah. All right, so that'll be another hot ticket. I got to get me some balls. Okay.
Sorry, what?
Quick love letter from John in San Francisco.
This is news.
Jim may have made a grave error by leaving an hour early yesterday because you were replaced by Bucky the Christmas Beaver.
Yeah.
John in San Francisco, Steph, quick love letter. Slow news day. Thanks for rebooking Bucking the Christmas Beaver for an in-studio appearance throughout the holidays. He was super polite subbing for Jim.
He was.
Attentive and subservient. Never interrupted you once with a Hitler reference. Listen respectfully without injecting proper German pronunciation of Schadenfreude.
There you go.
See? Okay. See? Just because of the pressure of Bucky being here.
Yeah.
I love Chris and Jim, but I fear the Emmy-worthy existential performance of Bucky may demote Jim into serving as Bucky's ventriloquist. And you may decide to bring in Fred to work the buttons for Chris, since he's handsome and romantic. Gay dog consistently knows the difference between Hal's right and left ball.
Oh.
It's true.
Yeah.
If Max can work the phones, even T-Bone's job may be in jeopardy.
Uh-oh.
Mooks, watch your backs. All Bucky needs is a MacBook to watch cartoons while ignoring you and a plate of vending machine snacks. Or let him share your leftovers. Doesn't this call for a go-to-meeting with Roland to book an extra first-class ticket on the plane for Bucky to the D.C. Sexy Liberal Show? Yours, John. He may need to make a special appearance.
The beverage cart is not safe with Bucky on the plane.
All right, Bucky, you stay there. Jim is notoriously unreliable. You just be at the ready. All right. so lots to get to today. We have Representative Jan Schakowsky, rockin' congresswoman of the great state of Illinois, coming up in the bottom of the hour to tell us where we're at with this fiscal gentle incline.
Slope.
As Charlie Pierce calls it. Who we'll also be talking to at 7:30. And then Julie Bolster from the Advocate magazine to get his take on the DOMA and
Prop 8 case.
Marriage equality cases going to the Supreme Court. All
right.
You know what? It's the holidays that just, the gifts just keep on giving. Not only Bucky the Christmas Beaver, Rocky Mountain Mike has sent us a best of Rocky Mountain Mike.
What? We're here in New Hampshire covering the primaries. Mr. Bachman, now that your wife has left the campaign, has it affected you?
The primary hillbilly. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Bachman and Perry.
We will stand.
This is Dennis Moore Mellencamp with the National Mental Health Alert Warning System with a Santorum Surge warning.
Sometimes you just can't go where everybody's Googled your name.
I've got Santorum Surge.
All in all, we'll just be stuck with mint in the fall.
What height is that tree?
Oh, my God. Wow, that isn't the right height, my friend.
Tree.
No need to ask. It's a car elevator.
I forgot about this one.
The turtle says
our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to deny President Obama a second term.
And later that night with Cher's arm on her leg, came the wreck and the lime green passed me down.
Oh, I'm a birther, he's a birther, she's a birther, we're all birthers, wouldn't you like to be a birther too?
Well, I overdropped some food.
We got a lot for you, electric
Come on, baby, it's a
liar. You said it all.
Bone finger. She's the one with the half-baked thoughts.
Tried to steer me towards Mitt Romney, but I just thought he's high. Like a right-wing troll boy.
It's my party and I lie if I want to. Lie if I want to. Lie if I want to. You would lie too if you hadn't a clue.
On the Steph Show.
On the Steph Show.
Mike,
the only thing
awesome.
Better
Thank
would be
you,
if,
Mike.
If I could hear it through both headphones. That's it.
No, you only have one working headphone?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Somebody likes to drop Christmas hints. All right. Thank you, Mike. Wow, I forgot how incredibly awesome he is. Although, the most timely one for me at the precipice of the fiscal cliff.
Honey, what is it?
It's that Grover Norquist. I can't sleep.
Oh, him again.
And he called me a poopy head.
Well, here, try this.
Norquil?
Uh-huh.
Norquil, the nighttime sniveling, sleazy, empty-headed, schmucky Weasley, shut the f*** up so we can get something done medicine in liquid or suppository.
All right. Did you see the Saturday Night Live clip? The president just going, I'll give you whatever you want. Just leave this poor orange man alone.
Yes.
Don't just stand in there crying.
Yeah, I noticed Jay Farrow's impression sounds much better when it's on the radio. You're not distracted
right,
by the
yeah.
fact it doesn't really look like
right.
it.
Right.
But that, the vocal
right.
impression is actually quite good.
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah. Even the Obama.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody does boner like you do. It's like Boner meets, Foster Brooks. Jim, who said the Mayans were right, as it turns out, when they predicted the world would end in 2012? It was just a select world, the GOP universe of arrogant, uptight, entitled, bossy, retrogressive white guys. Just another vanishing tribe that fought the cultural and demographic tides of history. Who said that?
Grover Norquist.
No. Maureen Dowd in a fabulous piece on lost civilization in the New York Times.
Wow.
Yeah, she has a column. Mm-hmm. Who said someday it will be the subject of a National Geographic special or a Mel Gibson movie, where archaeologists piece together who the lost tribe was, where it came from, and what happened to it? The experts will sift through the ruins of the Reagan Library, Dick Cheney's shotgun casings, orca pole monitoring hieroglyphics, remnants of triumphal rants by Dick Morris on Fox News, faded photographs of Clint Eastwood in an empty chair, and scraps of an ancient tape in which a tall, stiff man, his name long forgotten, gnashes his teeth about the 47% of moochers and the gifts they get.
Mel Gibson.
No, that was a bad guess. That was also Maureen Dowd in the same, very same piece. All right, one last try for you, Jim. Instead of smallpox, plagues, drought, and conquistadors, the Republican decline will be traced to a stubborn refusal to adapt to a world where poor people and sick people and black people and brown people and female people and gay people count. As the historian Will Durant observed, a great civilization is not conquered from without until it has destroyed itself from within. Who said that?
Sancho Panza.
Wow.
Said conquistadors.
No, no, I see. No. I didn't know. No, that's also worn down. A lost civilization. Fabulous piece. All right. And very to the point. All right. So lots to get to with the late. It's hard to tell what's happening. It seems like no progress thus far. Yeah. On the fiscal cliff, we will talk to Jen.
Well, the thing is, nobody's talking about what they're talking about behind closed doors. So we don't know if there's progress or not.
Right. Well, we speculated yesterday the president is just enduring a hail of bourbon breath and spittle and talking points at this point.
Yeah, do what I say.
And bronzer, little bronzer flying off. And just,
I want to see, I still have a job. And it's not a tavern.
You might have to go back to a job in a tavern.
God.
Wouldn't that be something? He seemed to love it so much.
Yeah.
Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back with all the latest on the fiscal Cliff Clavin.
Whatever it is.
Whatever. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't speak English. I don't know what I'm singing. They're only random syllables to me.
Something I've never figured out. Why do people not have an accent when they sing? I don't get it. You can't hear an accent like that.
I don't
24
know.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's start with Missy in Illinois. Hey, Missy.
Hi. Americans can get rid of the right to work problem. We just have to get back to looking for the union label. In the 70s, they had a commercial. I remember when you went to the store, you had to look for the union label.
Yeah, and I remember
You kind of felt guilty if you didn't look for the union label at the store. Everyone got together to, support unions. And
so everything's made in China now.
Well, we have to get back to looking for the union label.
Jim, don't be droopy. Lots of things are coming here to start production, right, Missy? I mean, that's, a hopeful something's going out of my head. What's the company that just announced?
I had another comment too.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Mormon money going into, trying to prevent people from getting married. I just want Republicans to think of the kids, all the kids of gay people, think of their families as normal, and they need respect. And talk about, if you don't want the government controlling your life, it's nobody's business.
Yep.
To little kids. Who have gay parents,
yep.
That's their family, and to,
Missy, we talked to Chris Perry and Sandy Steer yesterday. They're the proponents in the Prop 8 case out here, and they've raised four kids together. I know them both personally. They're just such a, when you see them together, you're like, who could possibly not want this family to be a family?
if the parents, you know, if they're two same-sex couples, they spend so much time reassuring their kids, you know, life is fair and this is, you know, equality, if you really want equality, where, you know, abortion is your business, who you marry is your business. You teach your kid that.
Yeah.
And then it really, to for the child of a that comes from a family like that, when they hear other people put it down, they're confused. You know, they just see it as not accepting. But
yep,
I just think Mormons are brainwashed into giving their money to fight stuff like that. If they don't want government in their lives, they should,
right.
Like, you know,
yep.
To each his own.
Absolutely.
So that's all
thank
I wanted
you.
To say.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're entitled to make 7 or 8 more mistakes now just for whipping that out of your ass in record time.
Or the union label is at the bottom of a garbage can.
All right.
Yeah. With cheap
Chinese That's for the Ladies International Garment Workers Union.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah.
By the way, I thought the president had some great stuff to say yesterday. He railed against right-to-work laws that Republicans are currently trying to pass in Michigan, arguing they constitute a race to the bottom.
Right-to-work
Thank
for
you.
Peanuts.
Right. He said right-to-work laws are giving you the right to work for less money.
Mm-hmm.
What we shouldn't be doing is trying to take away your rights to bargain for better wages or working conditions. We don't want a race to the bottom. We want a race to the top.
Yep.
And, you know, I was hearing someone this morning on the radio talk about every state that has these laws, things are worse.
Of course.
The economy's worse. Everything's worse.
Because nobody has any money to buy anything.
Thank you.
Morons.
Thank you. Okay. Mickey in South Dakota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mickey.
Howdy, everybody.
Hi.
Say, I have a couple questions. When a politician leaves office, whether they're voted out or they retire, what kind of package do they get when they leave? And also, why is it that the Congress and Senate can vote on their own pay increases, but yet give only a minimum wage to the American people?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we get to vote on that? Why don't the American people vote whether or not they get the increase in wages?
Yeah, and I love that a lot of politicians, some of the right-wing politicians don't even want a minimum wage.
Right,
they,
right.
They mean, yeah, even that's too much.
$4 an hour, that's outrageous. They won't pay it.
We won't pay it, exactly. Let's go to Richard in Houston. Hey, Richard, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
First time calling here, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. Why do everybody seem so surprised when these right-wingers just pull these stunts? Why is they study voting for Republicans, period?
Yeah.
Why just cut it out, period? And it kills me when I see people all lined up in the streets, all out in the cold, raining, snowing, and they out there just protesting away. These people do not care about us.
Yep.
Why is we starting voting for these people in our office?
It's what
I really want to know. I'm so
yeah.
I get so mad seeing this on a daily basis.
Well, Richard,
voting for
you know that's the thing that kills me is Boehner is claiming a mandate, a Republican mandate for the House. A million more people voted for Democrats, even for the House. It's because of redistricting, and he knows that. There was no, you know, sort of, he makes it sound like, and I think our caller's right.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Did people vote for this to have them do the same thing again with the president? They agree with the president on all of these issues surrounding the fiscal cliff, and we will talk to Representative Jan Schakowsky about it next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Even more beautiful to me now because it is the real you.
This is it, isn't it? This is the real
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. Oh, you don't want that. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour of the president yesterday.
If Congress lets middle class taxes go up, economists will tell you that means people will spend nearly $200 billion less than they otherwise would spend. Right? Consumer spending is going to go down.
Huh, if only we had someone we love from Congress to tell us where we're at now. Oh, look, it's Representative Jan Schakowsky, the rocking congresswoman of the great state of Illinois. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you?
I wish I knew.
I got to tell you, I mean, it feels like we're just watching a sequel, right? I mean, it's hard to tell what's going on. I mean, the headlines are neither side giving ground and fiscal cliff talks. I guess my question has been over and over. The president just won his second landslide. What do they not get about that, based on these very issues, right?
Yeah, you know, he's only the sixth president in history that has won two consecutive elections with a real majority, 51%.
Yep.
That. No, we're holding the cards, though, Stephanie. This is okay.
Right.
Because this is not a sequel to the last time when they held us hostage and we had to give a bit more than we wanted to because we wanted to avert total disaster with the debt ceiling. This is a different situation, and the Republicans, one by one, it seems, are starting to wake up and realize that this is a really bad platform for them. Let's
right.
go to the mat for the richest Americans, mm-hmm. and then let's cut Medicare, and we'll threaten to complete financial disaster over the debt ceiling. You know
yeah.
what? That is wildly unpopular in the country.
Yep. Well, Representative, I want to get your take because obviously the White House has signaled and, you know, I understand the issues involved, but I'm wondering, too, why don't we just go over? It's not really a cliff, right? I mean, because obviously that's where our leverage is these rates will go up anyway, and you can fix things in a couple of weeks with a new Congress, can't you? I mean, I know you're.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And our hand will be even stronger after the first of the year. But it would be better not to, create the situation of having all of these things, a lot of things expire at the end of the year. I mean, it would be much better if, like sensible people, we would sit down before a deadline and figure out how to do this in an equitable way. It seems as if the Republicans in their caucus in the House of Representatives are unable to be sensible. And John Boehner, more than anything, the numbers that he's looking at, that's the numbers that it takes for him to keep his gavel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well,
they're biting at each other right now. I guess it's like 17 votes, and they could oust him, and there are certainly people plotting on how to do that because he's just too weak-kneed, according to them. And so,
right.
I think that's the problem right now is that the Republicans are in disarray.
Well, absolutely. And Representative Shishkowski, I know, you know, you're one of our progressive warriors, and I think what makes us nervous on our side is, like, why are we talking about taking a rate that's less than the 39% or raising the Medicare eligibility age? Why are we talking about making those concessions at this point?
Well, I don't know that the president is talking about Medicare eligibility age. I'll tell you, that would be a total disaster.
Yeah.
It would actually end up costing us more to do that.
I
and
agree.
Certainly in terms of human health, it would be really, really a bad idea. I'm going to spend my week talking to my Democratic friends to make sure everybody really understands how bad it would be and how unnecessary it would be to raise the age of Medicare eligibility. But I agree with you. I don't think we ought to settle for any number less than what it was under the Clinton years.
That's right.
You know, that was the most prosperous time in the United States of America in recent history, and we don't need to do that. That is something, you know, we don't want to start negotiating with ourselves here. But first we have to have a signal from the Republicans that they are serious. I love when they say, oh, the president isn't serious. Oh, really? He put a fairly detailed proposal on the table.
Yeah.
We are really serious about that.
Right. Well, I love that. I know. I love the fact that they're acting like they still have the leverage in public. I think the Boehner's spokesman said the Republican offer made last week remains the Republican offer. Like, they're holding all the cards here, right?
None. I mean, they really don't have and the main card that they failed to hold is any support from the American people.
Yeah.
You know, the vast number of Americans say, yes, the wealthiest ought to pay more. Duh. They also do not cut Medicare. This is Democrats, Republicans, Independents, even Tea Partiers. They don't want those benefits to be cut, and they shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, it really is that game of chicken where you said, like, they're looking at the same polls you and I are, that Republicans would take the vast majority of the blame if we go over the cliff. They, as you say, the polling is, couldn't be clearer on the rich paying their fair share. So where do they go from here? I mean, what I've heard from other congresspeople is they're going to cave. It's just a question of when. What's your take on how and when
this
plays out?
I know we're going to go another week. We were supposed to be out this week, so they extended it for another week, extended their own pain another week, really. And so, you know, maybe they are trying to get there, but if they don't, then January 3rd or whatever, that's when we're sworn in, then we can actually get this done. This is not going to be the apocalypse if we don't get it done by December 31st.
Right.
And then we're even in a better position. I don't understand why they don't see that. Tom Cole, who is my favorite Republican, a sensible guy. No, he really is a friend of mine because
right.
He gets it. I mean, he's a conservative Republican, but he's also very, very practical. And by the way, pretty close to John Boehner. So I don't know if that's mm-hmm. in part kind of a message that from that sector of the Republican conference. But
well, right. You're talking about a lot of the Republicans that are saying publicly we need to give in on the tax revenues. It maybe be giving Boehner cover, you mean, right? Cole and Coburn.
Yeah, Tom Cole said, you know, come on. Everybody agrees on this. Minimally, we all agree that middle class up to $250,000 income ought to be taxed at this lower level. So,
yeah.
You know, let's go.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, we were talking about this before we had you on. Is the one thing I that makes me laugh is Boehner claiming his own election mandate for a Republican majority in the House when everybody understands redistricting and gerrymandering at this point, don't they?
Absolutely. This idea that this was a status quo election. Is he the only person that hasn't noticed, you know, how we're... I'm trying to end gloating. I am. I am.
I've made no such efforts, but go ahead.
No, I'm not even trying. Okay. Well, in certain places, I try to look... Oh, there's my dog.
I've got mine. Who's
They're
that?
Gloating. They're gloating, too.
Yeah.
Those are my dogs gloating.
What kind of dogs and what are their names?
Lucky and Buddy, like really dog names.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so Disney movie.
They're golden retrievers.
Oh, Lucky and Buddy. Okay, go ahead. All right, so what your point was what?
my point was I forgot.
Lucky and Buddy filibustered you.
With your comment that, you know, that they are trying to minimize the fact that the president won the election, that we made gains in the House, that the Senate is more Democratic, and that the American people are fed up
right.
with gridlock. They're fed up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, the White House obviously was defending keeping these talks private between the president and Boehner. They said our interest is in seeing if we could reach an agreement and not trying to negotiate an agreement through the media. I mean, I actually think that's right? Because whether it's the media or the public or the markets react to every statement, don't they?
Well, that's the thing. The markets, I don't know how sensible they'll be if we go to January 1st. But maybe that'll be the kind of impetus that will bring the Republicans to their senses. It's true, however, obviously, if some progress, real progress had been made, I think that we might have heard something better or more explicit from the president that says we're not reading out details of the conversation, but the lines of communication remain open.
Right.
To me, that means they really haven't made any progress. So, you know, I'm glad that they're talking, but we'll see this week. I don't know. We're all.
It means Boehner still has his number, but if the president answers and it's talking point, he's like, all right, John, thanks for calling.
Yeah, right. Thanks for dropping over.
Yeah.
Now, before you go, Congresswoman, because as you know, my fondest memory of you is one of our awesome straight allies is you doing back handsprings down the street in Chicago during the gay
down
pride.
Down Halsted Street, yeah.
down Halsted during the gay pride parade.
Yeah.
that I was doing play by play for our radio station. station there at WCPT. What is your, I mean, obviously a huge day in terms of, you know, gay rights. Are you elated, nervous about the Supreme Court, about DOMA and marriage equality? What do you think?
Oh, everybody's taking bets on which, if both, that the Supreme Court will uphold. I honestly think that that DOMA will, you know, not be the law of the land when the Supreme Court is done. That was a bad mistake at the time. But I have never seen, I have to tell you, Steph, an issue move so quickly. The culture wars are over.
Yeah.
Our team won, and the Congress of the United States is unrepresentative of what the American people in general feel. I don't want to overstate this. I know that in some communities and in, you know, even maybe in some states, the majority may think otherwise. But the time is gone when anybody can think they don't know anybody gay, that there's nobody in their family. It's just incredible.
Yeah, no, I mean, Rob Reiner, who's obviously been so involved in this, was on with us yesterday and said, this is it. We are at the tipping point, you know, in this, I think, civil rights battle of our generation. So we'll see. I know there's going to be a lot of nervousness until June.
What do you think?
I am very positive. You know, we talked to both Chris Perry and Rob Reiner yesterday. They're both they said elated and very optimistic. So I'm going to go with that, and Ted Olson and David Boies.
I'm going with you on that. Okay. I'm excited.
All right. Get your sneakers ready for next year's parade.
Okay.
All right. Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, thanks so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes. Love her.
Yep.
Yeah, she was dancing, and I don't know, she has these little sneakers that she, you know, does little, it was almost gymnastics.
Cartwheels.
Quite spectacular. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Shush.
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HG Faces.
Well, there's that.
Powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. If I could just have a marriage by GoToMeeting, that would probably work.
That would work.
Okay, shush. It's a powerfully simple way to meet online and collaborate. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days, won't you? Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Okay, let's go to Teresa in California. Hi, Teresa. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling about the attempt to sneak in the approval of a Walmart in the community of Quartz Hill here in the high desert.
Oh, wow.
They're trying to locate it across the street from the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't there a law in this state saying that you can't sell liquor within 1,000 feet of a school?
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know the particular laws of, you know, the particular liquor laws. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm not really. We can check into that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hmm. Let's go to Walt in New York. Hey, Walt. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Really love your show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And I'm encouraged to find people, your group, so cheerful so early in the morning.
It's an act.
Yeah, so we're faking it. Go ahead, Walt.
So the one thing I wanted to say is that the right to work, shouldn't that be the right to be a slave, law?
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, what President Obama said yesterday. It's the right to, you know,
For nothing.
Yeah, to work for less, to work cheap. All right. The president on the fiscal cliff negotiations yesterday.
We can solve this problem. All Congress needs to do is pass a law that would prevent a tax hike on the first $250,000 of everybody's income. Everybody's.
See, that's a couple of callers made that point yesterday. It's everybody.
Even the rich.
Even your favorite top one percenters.
250, that's nothing. Good heavens, that's lunch money. Of course I won't be taxed on
that. That's the electricity bill for Mitt Romney's car elevator.
Yeah, right.
They held more negotiations yesterday on ways to... neither side showed any signs, of course, of they're ready to give ground.
Yeah.
The president said what you need is a package that keeps taxes where they are for middle-class families. We make some tough spending cuts on things we don't need, and then we ask the wealthiest Americans to pay a higher tax rate. That's a principle I won't compromise on. Again, it's hard to say what's going on behind the scenes. Jan Schakowsky? No, either.
But no cuts to
It's almost
Medicare
like a movie you know you don't need to pay attention to yet. You're like, no, they're going to wait till the end.
Yeah.
They're going to wait till next
week.
I'll
read the synopsis online. Yeah,
I'll get the cliff notes. Yeah. It's going to be the same thing. The White House spokesman said, I can only say the president believes the deal is possible, but it requires acceptance and acknowledgement in a concrete way by Republicans of the top 2% will see an increase in their rates.
Yeah,
we need to let them. What stays are they at after the election? Are they in bargaining, depression, acceptance? Where are we? We need to have them get through that first. As we were talking about with the congresswoman polling, once again, it always comes out the same. It shows Americans would blame Republicans if the country went over the cliff. Republican Senator Bob Corker called for a quick deal. He said, right now, there's no question in my mind that the president has the slight upper hand.
Slight?
In negotiations.
Suppose he has to say that to keep his base.
Yeah. More conservative Senate Republicans, most notably Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, also have signaled a willingness to let tax rates rise. It seems like, Boehner's having his orange hand forced here.
Yeah.
His Cheeto-stained finger.
Yeah.
Let's go to Steph in Illinois. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I happened to listen to Morning Joe this morning. Sorry.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, it was on my TV. But anyway, they were really trying to push that these jobs coming back to America are great. They're going to be paying $15 to $17 an hour. And I'm thinking, you can't buy a house. You can't buy a car. You can't send your kids to college on $17 an hour. And they want us to embrace these jobs. And like what's going on in Michigan, they were saying the same thing, that these people ought to just let the unions, go, because people just need any kind of work, no matter what kind it is. And I'm thinking, no, we'll be in another recession if everybody made $15 an hour in this country, and I don't know why they don't get that.
It's what the president was saying yesterday. This should be a race to the top, not a race to the bottom. Oh, she's done with me. Well,
okay.
Then fine.
She'll listen to your answer off the air.
I always hang around too long. Okay. Shut up, Chris.
Susan, hey, I have no room to talk.
Susan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, Stephanie.
There's so many layers of this show.
Yeah.
Yes, hi, Susan.
Good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
First time caller, been listening for a long time. I want to call about the right to work. My husband is a union bricklayer in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
He works so hard. He lifts 64-pound blocks all day long, 8 hours a day. He's like in a labor camp. Yeah. He gets a decent wage.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get his birthday off. He doesn't get a paid vacation. If Christmas is on a Tuesday, he doesn't get paid. They act like they get so much money.
Right.
But they don't. We make a nice wage, but we're not millionaires.
Right.
And union people built this country, not Mitt Romney.
Right.
Yep, that's absolutely right.
And Republicans are acting like union people are millionaires. They're just greedy for more money.
It's not true.
Susan, I hate when they start saying like, oh, the American people don't, as if unions aren't Americans.
Like they're dirty, like they've done something bad, like they're molesters or something.
Yep.
They're trying to steal from the country, and that's not true.
And Susan, it's interesting. Your husband is one of the other points we make when we talk about when they throw around this talking point about, oh, let's just raise the Medicare eligibility age. Well, try lifting bricks from the time you're 65 to 67 and see if that makes a difference.
He can't even do it to 65. He's 58 years old and he's going to retire at 62 because he walks like an old man. He's hunched up. When it's cold out, he has to work no matter what. If it's too cold to work, it's because the material is too cold to work.
Right.
Not because of him. They put heaters on the sand and he stands and watches the sand get warm.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And not get paid until the sand is warm.
And I've lived in Chicago, Susan. Thank God it's hardly ever cold there.
Or hot and humid in the summer.
That's right.
All
right. Thank you.
Imagine being a bricklayer in Chicago.
Wind whips off the lake and hits you when you're on Wacker or wherever.
Whatever.
Or in the summer if it's 102. 98%
I grew up in Buffalo. And when I lived in Chicago, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah, it's cold. All right. Salt of the earth. Susan, her husband. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on the
lucky the Christmas Beaver is watching Jim eat his whatever the hell that is just looming over him.
What are you eating today? Well, yesterday it was a hamburger from the machine.
It's a panini from the machine. Oh, upstairs.
They machine have food. Okay.
Machine paninis?
Mm-hmm. Ew. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
You just have your cottage cheese with pineapple over there.
Ugh.
Okay.
Every day.
And I have leftover sushi, which is always a little risky.
3D.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free.
Sun-dried
sushi. The words leftover and sushi should never be in the same sentence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fill in your own Les joke here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. I'm wearing my, Detroit hat in solidarity with my union folk. And my boogity cheese in solidarity with my sexy liberal, Aisha Tyler, who will be it's going to be the, I'm just going to say, the sexy liberal show, I think, of all time.
Yeah.
Inauguration weekend in Washington, D.C. Jim, Chris, Jackie opening for us.
Yep.
All four sexy liberals and two huge surprise celebrity guests on panel. I just booked the second one yesterday.
Huge.
It's not Donald Trump, huge.
I'm excited to meet this person. Very excited.
I know
excited.
You are, right? Sheila, right staff, we'll see you on the January 19th. We have our tickets. We bought them the first weekend they were on sale. So excited. My husband loves you so much that instead of 3 hours a day, he now can watch your replay and have 6 hours a day. What am I going to do with him? Oh, just let him be. That's right. They're repeating us.
Yeah.
So when the show ends, it repeats on you like one-day-old, like 3-day-old sushi.
I know.
We're on 6 hours a day. I'm on the current television network. It's very exciting.
I want full newspaper coverage. I want magazine stories. I want books.
Right.
I want films.
Yes.
I want TV. I want radio. I want us on the air 24 hours a day. This is our moment.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Let's clear the schedule for us. Okay. Can't wait to see you, Jim, Chris, John, Hal, Aisha, and Jackie. Woohoo! Woot! Yeah, I'm excited, too. I've never met this person in person, either.
Careful.
Okay. What?
I'm a big fan of this person.
Okay. You know who else has done, what you call it, sexy liberal panel?
Who?
Three times, Rob Reiner.
I know.
Who was on yesterday with us. George Slaughter, our friend, creator of Laugh-In, writes, Steph, I want you and Rob Reiner to have a love child. Come on, Steph, do it for the country. Do it for our country. You know what? And I asked Rob's lovely wife yesterday.
And?
Come on.
What was her?
She seemed supportive of it. If only the eggs weren't so dusty. But for Rob Reiner, I might be able to crank him up like an old Edsel. All right.
This is exactly what an old Edsel sounds like.
Yeah, yes. And your eggs. Your eggs, Edsel. Eggs,
right.
Edsel.
All right. We will. Jackie Schechner, as I mentioned, sent us the pictures. Not the picture, the video of the dog.
She sent me the link. I still need to put it up.
The dog with the fart machine. He thinks it's him over and over. which is almost as adorable as the. Did you see this, Chris? The shearling coat-wearing monkey in IKEA.
Yes, I did. I posted about it yesterday. I want my own shearling coat-wearing monkey so that I can take it to IKEA.
How adorable is that?
Roland, a sexy liberal
yes,
Roland.
Tour director.
Yes, says it looks exactly like Joan Rivers. I said no.
Roland Louise.
I said no, it kind of looks more like a Kardashian. You know, with the...
It's another episode of That Is So Random. Okay, yeah. Shearling coat-wearing monkey found wandering around Canadian IKEA.
Yeah, you don't see that headline every day.
According to various reports, a very fashionably dressed monkey was found wandering around an IKEA in Toronto. Apparently, the monkey, who was wearing a shearling coat and a diaper.
Sure.
As monkeys do.
Sure.
It's winter in Canada.
Was brought into the store... was brought to the store by his owners and left in the car while they went inside. But as you might have guessed from his coat, this wasn't your regular run-of-the-mill monkey content to stay in the car while his owners had all the fun shopping. No, this was they said he was a very smart monkey. Jimmy got out of his cage.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Opened the door.
Right. Said, I need some cheap furniture. I'm going to walk right in here.
I need
in my
a
little,
Billy bookcase.
In my shearling coat.
I want some of those Swedish meatballs. Yeah, sure, you betcha.
I think, just in my opinion, IKEA, seventh ring of hell. I went there once to get a stool. I told you this story.
You wouldn't do well in IKEA.
Oh, no, it took hours and days. I had no monkey in a shearling coat to amuse me. It took me days to get a little stool, And I had to pay the handyman more to put it together than I actually had to pay for the stool, because it came in like 1,000 pieces, a little tiny stool.
Yes, but what other furniture store gives you Swedish meatballs and great coffee?
Well, that's true. Yeah. And where else can you see a monkey in a shearling coat?
Well, the shearling coat monkey store.
Yeah.
Naturally, the news of the escaped monkey made the rounds on Twitter. Anyone lose their monkey at IKEA? And, of course, the inevitable IKEA Monkey Twitter parody account.
Yeah.
It's a thing. IKEA Monkey.
It is a thing.
Hashtag IKEA Monkey.
This was Roland's obsession on Facebook all day long yesterday.
I was the fart machine and the dog took up half my day. And then I was distracted by the shiny.
A monkey in a shearling coat.
This is why America is so far down in every leading indicator, because this is what we do all day.
Where do you get a shearling coat that small?
Right?
The shearling coat monkey store.
Hashtag IKEA monkey is a rhesus, Right, rhesus, whatever. Approximately 7 months old. Right.
Macaque.
In good health, stressed. Wouldn't you be? I get stressed going to IKEA. I can only imagine.
Do you see the look on his face as he's looking in the window? He's like, where are you? Where?
Can I leave a meatball in the car? Can I have a Swedish meatball?
You wouldn't leave a baby in the car, but you leave me in the car?
The jacket is wool and said to be his favorite. See, I would have thought like a parka, something a little... But no, shearling coat is his favorite.
In the chat room.
What do you think? Like they have different options for him, and he just like, how do they know it's his favorite?
It's high fashion.
Parka, no.
I'm going to the pea coat today.
No, pea coat, no.
That's a high fashion monkey.
I want the shearling.
Yeah.
Does he point? Do they like show him different options? Does he have a monkey? Is there a monkey stylist? Is there like a monkey Marcus Bachman? And like they did this?
I think he works for Vogue.
Ski?
Yeah.
A ski outfit? How about this? No. Down jacket? No.
You can't leave a monkey in the car in a parking lot at IKEA in Canada in the winter without a coat on. Come on.
All right. See,
the law.
You know, this is what happens. The fiscal cliff, whatever. That'll just go on the way it's going. This is the kind of stuff right before vacation, right?
Monkey fashion.
We just get
winter monkey fashion.
Yeah. Last year at this time, it was baby monkey riding
IKEA
backwards
on a monkey. IKEA monkey wearing a fur coat. IKEA monkey.
This is the stuff that could just take up my entire day. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world to find more odd things, shall we?
Help.
Next Friday. Vacation starts next
I know.
Friday. Not even this Friday. Okay.
I think the monkey's going to get a call from PETA if I'm wearing a shearling coat.
They're going to throw red paint on the monk.
Well,
IKEA
no.
monkey.
The shearling part of it, that's wool. That you shave that off
right.
of.
Right.
No. That's the skin of the lamb.
Oh.
No,
is it?
With the wool still attached to it.
Oh.
IKEA monkey. PETA's watching you. Okay.
Can they get upset at an animal?
Should an animal be wearing the skin of another animal? I don't think so.
That's not right.
What we do.
All right, let's just... Curtis Sliwa on the Fox Business Channel.
The Rock is being street here. You know, he's back to being the community organizer. Getting in their face. That's right. Whether you like it or not, throw it out. And then he steps back, as you said. And he sets it off, and the Republicans are like, who's going to handle this one?
Wow. Wow. So that's why nobody's watching Fox Business Channel right there.
That could be for that. Reason.
Me a little borderline racist? No.
A little bit.
It's going on street here.
Streets.
Yo.
Going
insane.
Street, yo. Okay. Thanks, Curtis.
Okay. What's, you know, what you'd expect from Fox Business Channel.
Yeah.
Okay.
That probably gets better ratings than Lou Dobbs.
Yeah.
Okay, Sean Hannity.
All right, considering the significant consequences of falling off the fiscal cliff, you'd think the president would have some sort of an interest in finding a solution to the crisis. However, it is now becoming increasingly obvious that something is standing in the way. So what could it be? Now, what is it that is preventing the president from negotiating or even offering up any meaningful concessions to Republicans? Well, now even a reporter at the left-wing newspaper, the New York Times, is admitting, well, it just may be Obama's arrogance.
He got the New York Times in there, so he wouldn't have to say uppity. Arrogance, the New York Times says. Yeah, that's...
What, did you think he won an election or something?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Code word. Woohoo. Dog whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that wasn't...
Even the left-wing New York Times.
Mm-hmm. Were you impersonating a dog whistle?
No.
Woo!
No, I was not.
All right.
You wouldn't hear a dog whistle.
Yeah.
Right.
Dog
whistle. But you know what? That would distract the dog that's distracted by the farting machine.
Sure.
That dog whistle. That dog would be like, Hey, that was racist.
Even a monkey in a shearling coat would distract the dog.
Okay. You sure it's next Friday? Okay.
It's next Friday,
Rush Limbaugh.
Is it going to take that long for us to lose our superpower status? I thought we were on track for much sooner than that. The Obama plan to knock down America, obviously. So I'm surprised it's going to take that long.
No.
2030 is, what, another 18 years, 17 years. And we're on a path to lose our superpower status long before that.
Because Obama's
based on what?
Back away from the Dash D'Souza films. Okay. Yes, this is the president's plan. You remember since kindergarten to, you know, downsize America and
whatever.
Okay. All right. Joe Scarborough on conservatism.
All the intellectual thrust politically was on the Republican side from 1980 to, say, 1990. And then it becomes a racket. And that's where you have a lot of people running around saying harsh things that sell books and push ratings and lose elections. And that's where we are. Conservatism is a racket for a lot of people to get very, very rich.
Yep.
With no thought of winning elections.
That wasn't Joe Scarborough. That was Bill Kristol, wasn't it?
That was Joe Scarborough.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was... It didn't sound like Bill Kristol.
Anything like that.
Well, he said the same thing.
Okay.
Essentially, it's a racket.
Okay. No, Joe Scarborough said that yesterday morning.
Yeah. All right. Well, then he was ripping off Bill Kristol.
Well.
All right.
Who doesn't?
I need a nap. Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh.
I could use some other, if someone would send me an animal in a different sort of outfit, I think I could be distracted momentarily. Okay. 17.
Little beaver.
All right.
We have a beaver in a Santa
outfit. Little beaver.
Okay. We really need a vacation. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with a smidge more right-wing world. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Ow.
Everybody?
Everybody?
Everybody? Really?
Ow.
There's some people who really probably shouldn't.
Ow.
Okay, everybody.
Hey.
You say so.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
People will give their dogs complexes with a fart machine.
That's posted, by the way.
Okay. All right. Bill O'Reilly, as we continue Right Wing World.
We are living in a country that is rapidly changing. Rules of civility are pretty much finished.
Well,
America has always embraced robust debate. Now there are elements on both the left and the right which are using disgraceful tactics to demean those with whom they disagree.
Such as?
Some examples.
No.
Supreme Court's now going to hear the gay marriage issue.
Well,
some of those who support expanding the definition of marriage are accusing those who oppose it of being human rights violators,
right.
Bigots, homophobes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Check.
So if you hold the belief that traditional marriage should have a special place in society, you're a hater, according to the haters.
Okay.
Computer says yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. And we'll
so he just negated his entire point by calling everybody who opposes him
a hater.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
So, there's no civility anymore.
Hater. Idiots.
By the way, and it's who? Marriage equality, Bill.
Oh, we're never going to get him to say that. So don't hold your breath on that one.
Just to make you sound other, you know, like a monkey in a shearling coat at IKEA. Okay.
It doesn't get much other than that.
Trying to build a stool at IKEA.
Okay. Matt Barber, Faith and Freedom radio show. You know, I oftentimes miss that. So thanks for getting this right.
Hey, no problem. I monitor everything.
Uh-huh.
The bully on the playground intimidates. That's what he does. Intimidates people into silence, into fear, into avoiding the bully. And when the righteous individual who is being bullied defends his or herself and punches the bully in the mouth,
when he's getting
guess what?
From
the bully, more times than not, has a glass jaw, falls down. Then everyone on the playground says, whoa, the bully was a weakling after all. That's the secularist left. The secularist left are bullies. They try to bully and intimidate and push religious intolerance and religious bigotry on everyone else.
Wow.
Huh. Wow, I did not see that coming. Oh, it's okay. The secular left.
They're the bullies. Sure.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
That's just like those Poles trying to defend themselves against the Nazis. They're bullies.
Oh, Jim. This was late for you to get a Nazi reference.
Yeah, we didn't get a Nazi reference from Bucky the Christmas Beaver yesterday.
Nicely done, sir. All right. That time of year.
His German's not very good.
Okay, great. That was Bucky the Christmas Beaver singing in German. Okay. You know what? It is the holidays, everybody.
Wing nuts roasting over Mideast High. Pundits growing a big nose. Talking points being sold by big lies. Like Fox and Friends media hoes. Everybody knows the turkey. Sean Hannity, get an audience that's white. Tiny-brained viewers who just don't know that what he says just isn't right. They know Obama's on his way. He's gonna take your
no.
Every ditto head is gonna try to prove the president is just a Kenyan spy. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to viewers most are 92. Although it's been many times, many ways, we all voted, you lose.
Rocky Mountain Mike, Marion in Ann Arbor.
Marion in Ann Arbor.
All right.
Yep.
And Brian has been wondering for 2 days now, is Bucky the Beaver caressing a giant sausage? No, it's a candy cane. It's a candy cane.
Although it's not a traditionally colored candy cane, so I can see how...
No.
Yeah, it's not red and white striped.
That's just dirty. Oh, by the way, here we go.
Wheel.
You know that little O'Reilly, Jesse Waters, that kid?
That little...
O'Reilly? He told O'Reilly that Obama voters were zombies who supported the president as long as there was Obamacare, gay marriage, and abortion on demand.
Yep.
FEC filings were just revealed. He gave $500 to the Obama Victory Fund.
Oops.
He was an Obama supporter, as it turns out.
That confuses me.
That's me too.
Did he do it just because his boss told him to?
Don't know. That's going to be awkward in the Fox hallways. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I like you. I don't know whether to knock you on your kisser or kiss you on your knuckers.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. T-Bone's funny.
Yes, he says every time the printer fires up, an angel gets its wings.
Gets its wings.
Because every time he brings me something off the printer, I'm like, thank you,
that's
angel.
That's right. He's like a 6'5" tall angel, yes. But...
Very tall angel.
In a tight shirt.
He's like the angel in the Matt Damon and Ben Affleck movie. That's a big
Dogma?
Angel. Yeah. Like an archangel.
I never saw it.
I don't know.
I hear it's good.
Okay.
It is.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Becky in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Beck.
Hi.
Hi.
Second time I got through. That's really good.
Yay. The archangel let you through.
Oh, I thank that angel then.
Yes. Go ahead.
The caller earlier was talking about it was no big deal bringing in $15, $17 an hour jobs. Hey, I'd love one of those.
Yeah.
In 2000, the company I was working for closed down. I was making $14.05 an hour at that time, which was really good money then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The next job I got $11 an hour.
Huh.
And now this another job, now the new job I've got, I work at a medical device company. And I get $12 an hour, and I work third shift, and I'm scheduled to get a 0.5% raise this year.
We.
Now, the company's president got a 5% raise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something how it always works out okay for the people on top. You know, yeah. I think it, you know, it depends on where you live. I mean, that's what everybody talks about. I think that, you know, when we talk about a certain cost of living, it just is. It's just different in a lot of places. Yeah. So, but I hear you. All right, so we've been talking about the fiscal cliff cliving. It does. They appear at a standstill. Hard to tell. The president yesterday.
I've said I will work with Republicans on a plan for economic growth, job creation, and reducing our deficits. And that has some compromise between Democrats and Republicans. I understand there's a, you know, people have a lot of different views. I'm willing to compromise a little bit.
I worry about him talking about compromising.
I think he's doing the right thing, though. He's hitting the road like campaign style and talking, you know, taking his and the polls are showing that it's working.
Yep.
That, you know, again, just like in the election, the American people largely with him would largely blame Republicans if this happens. He's building his case. He was talking about warned his listeners their taxes will rise if January 1st if Congress doesn't take action. He said that's a hit you can't afford to take. And if anything, Jim, the president has toughened his demands in recent days, insisting not only the tax rates must rise, but Congress must give him and future presidents the authority to raise the government's borrowing limit, the debt ceiling. I mean, that I really think is true. No, because we've never seen this breed of Republicans before that have taken that hostage. That it shouldn't be part of the negotiations of anything.
Right.
As people keep pointing out over and over, it's money we've already spent. It's like you getting your MasterCard bill and going, I'm not going to pay that now, unless you do this. It's like, no, you don't get to negotiate. You already spent it.
Social Security or Medicare.
No, and he said that is a non-starter, that
if
they touch Social Security.
Social Security doesn't add a cent to the deficit. So it's exactly. It should not be a part of this. And as everybody said, they're not going to get all of this stuff done in 2 weeks. They should do what's important and make sure that taxes don't rise on middle class of 98% of us. Boehner, he keeps saying this. He claims his own election mandate for the Republican majority in the House.
No.
It's, I mean, that they've got to drop that talking point because
it's gerrymandering.
Right. If it were a million more, I can't say it enough, a million more people voted for Democrats than Republicans, even for the House.
So? What's your point?
And yet, the orange man will still be Speaker, according to two top Republicans.
Yeah. Because he did such a bang-up job.
Tom Cole was asked on CNN on Sunday, will he still be Speaker? He said, absolutely. Representative Marsha Blackburn said he'll be Speaker. Eric Cantor must have a bigger bitch face than usual this morning.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Really?
The president.
That's a principle I won't compromise on because I'm not going to have a situation where the wealthiest among us, including folks like me, get to keep all our tax breaks, and then we're asking students to pay higher student loans.
Robin in Arizona. Hey, Robin, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm happy for the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you.
The two bears.
Okay, go ahead.
When T-Bone took my call, I said I wanted to speak about the right-to-work state recently in Michigan.
Yeah.
I moved from Washington State to Arizona. Clearly, I did not do my homework. And my husband has lived here for quite some time. And at the time, this would be 9.5 years ago, there were 18 right-to-starve states, as he calls them.
Yeah.
And now there are 24. And I'm really shocked. I shouldn't be, but I'm still shocked by what happened in Michigan. I can't believe that this is how the governor wants to leave to do something like this. And it seems like he's being very punishing.
Yeah, no, a lot of this, that's what it seems like to me. Is this still, you know, tantrum? Is this political payback? Is it... because you just... I swear to God, people are reacting in all kinds of different ways to this election. And it's just... seems to me like a lot of that is just, it is payback. Gail in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
Gail with a D. Hey, Chris, I'm the CRNA that wrote you about CSF flow and snot more than you ever wanted to know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Thank you. But the show is medically indicated to watch. It will lower your blood pressure, your heart rate, your stress hormones, and increase your synaptic firing.
Thank you. Thank you.
The reason that they're union busting is about money. Money going in from the two brothers, and this decreases our ability to fund presidential candidates.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly it. It's, you know, somebody was saying this morning that it's a way that you get union benefits without having to pay.
Right.
You know, speaking of the... Oh, by the way, did you see Alan West, the former congressman?
He's still congressman right now.
Oh, well.
Until the third.
Very shortly.
Yes, right.
He went on the lovely and talented Mark Levin's radio show.
Oh, he's so lovely and talented.
His opponent only won because he cheated. For which he offered
no evidence.
No evidence of any kind.
At all.
No.
Okay.
He accused Patrick Murphy of only winning by breaking the rules. He said, I'm not going away just because of a congressional race where he seems to have to cheat to beat me.
It seems to me, so therefore...
He did.
I won.
Wow. Listen to the transcript of this radio interview.
All right.
Levin, you are a national treasure. You are way too important to have something like this happen to you, and off you go. No, actually, that's exactly what happens to you when you lose
right.
in America. Off you go. That can't happen. Yes, yes, it can, Mark.
And it did, yeah.
Yes, that's how it works. West, I'm a warrior, and I'm a statesman, and I'm a servant of the Republic. I'm not going away just because of a congressional race where he seems to have cheated to beat me.
Seems
Levin,
to have.
He sure as hell did. It's disgusting.
He sure as hell seems to have, according to you.
Apparently.
What?
Somebody speculated that it seems like if he had any sort of evidence that he probably, Fox News would have run that
24/7
if they had some kind of something there. He wrapped up the interview by accusing the president of being a Marxist socialist.
Of course.
Rigid ideologue who believes he has some self-conceived mandate to go out and further destroy and ruin our economy.
No, it's
Aww.
An actual mandate
He's a skeeter.
To be president.
Alan West is a
skeeter.
Skeeter.
Aww.
Skeeter. Maybe Skeeter Peck can help him in his next when he tries to run again. Let's go to Shirley in Philadelphia. Hi, Shirley.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to thank you for helping me and my friends through the last week of the election. We went to New York to see you, and it kept me from jumping out of my window.
Aw, thanks, Shirley.
So I made it through. But anyway, I have eliminated the word entitlement from my vocabulary.
Good.
I now call it,
Earned benefit.
I call it my annuity.
Yep.
And I now want to eliminate the word food stamp and replace it with corporate welfare.
Mm-hmm.
It enables all of the very, very wealthy people in this country who are making tons of money right now to pay their employees under the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
And then food stamps are the benefit that they get to receive that you and I pay for. And they get to call and they get to take all the money home.
Yeah. Well, this is why I can't. Who's currently stuck in my craw is the Goldman Sachs CEO who went on TV and said, we can't afford these entitlements anymore. He's the guy that you remember, you and I, Shirley, gave our taxpayer money to bail him out and give him a bonus.
Yeah.
You remember
and
that
then
guy.
He said, you work for 25 years and collect Social Security for 35. Who works 25 years and who lives 35 years
and Shirley,
after they retire?
For him to sit in his cushy office at Goldman Sachs until he's 67 is different than a woman that called last hour and said her husband lays bricks in Chicago. Chicago.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Right. All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. We were trying to outrant each other there. The important thing is Skeeter Peck can help Alan West. Alan, are you listening?
Left wing Nazi.
In 2011, we told you about Skeeter.
He's going to take our guns
Afflicted
away.
With Obama derangement syndrome,
Socialist.
People like Skeeter
Communist.
Have little or no connection to reality.
He hates small business.
In 2012, despite many breakthroughs, Skeeter's condition has worsened.
He's part of the gay agenda.
The good news is
Stalin.
You can help.
He's all uppity.
We're proud to announce the formation of Skeeter Peck,
born in Kenya,
a political action committee dedicated to countering the effects of Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is golf.
For those who need it the most.
Take vacations.
With your donation, we can put people with ODS in special rooms with newspapers, books, and other fact-based information.
I like the pictures.
Which can be read by, or in the case of Skeeter, read to Obama derangement syndrome sufferers.
He's not Anglo-Saxon.
Won't you help?
I need more ammo.
Skeeter didn't build his condition by himself.
Roads and bridges are communist.
And Obama derangement syndrome won't end without
Rachel
your help.
Manning was a guy.
Please give today
Hitler.
To Skeeter Pat.
Paid for by friends of Skeeter.
I have a girlfriend for Skeeter.
Oh?
Who's that?
Right-wing dating service here. Fox News' Suzanne Venker, who says, women's nature is to be dominated by men. Well, we know what she's into.
Oh, dear.
Hello.
50 Shades of Grey, anybody?
Yeah. She maintains, a man's place is in the office. His woman should simply surrender to his rule.
Oh, lordy.
It's making Jim hot.
Yeah.
He has exceptions for some right-wing women like Dana Perino. If they're cute enough, he just throws. He could throw all his principles out the window. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it would give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Nobody but
Stephanie Miller
and me.
You're the first, you're the last, my everything.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, because we're helpers, you were reading about Fox News babe and what she likes.
Yeah, she says women are born to be dominated by men.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just send her along to...
Finding true right-wing love is a challenge, so that's why I created Tea Party Harmony. We're the only site that has the patented 19 dimensions of douchebaggery, where you're certain to find someone just as greedy, xenophobic, and narrow-minded as you.
When I met Sam for our first date at the firing range, it was just boom.
We both know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
But that's not really America.
I don't like taxes.
I'm afraid of brown people.
There's no such thing as nuance at Tea Party Harmony. Don't tread on me.
But I found out he kind of likes that.
Find that one person who's going to love you passionately for the gun-toting Tea Party nut you really are. It all starts with your sociopathic personality profile. Right now, review your compatible wing nuts for free at teapartyharmony.com.
All right. Thank you.
We're here.
Okay.
Oh, that continues on. All right.
Okay. For those of you watching Current, you got to see the magical moment when you realize Jim Warden and I have the same taste in chicks. Okay. He just showed me the picture of the right woman. And we're both like, pretty hot. Okay. Let's go to Dino. Hi, Dino in Detroit. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, thank you. I'm a union worker from Detroit, and I just want to thank you guys for your support. Aww. This is awesome that you guys are doing this.
Wearing my Detroit hat in solidarity today. Go ahead.
That's great. I love when you wear that, too.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that as a union worker where I work at, we have what's called a 30 and out. And what that makes up for us, Stephanie, is it gives us 30 years on the job. We get to retire with full benefits and pension until the age of 65, then Social Security kicks in.
Right.
What that does, it actually creates jobs because it gives my job to somebody younger.
That's right.
And I'm retired and nobody's paying in. He's paying into Social Security for that 10 years until I collect it.
Yep. Absolutely. So, you know, I was just reading a piece in the LA Times, which is a good point about why, things are getting better. The housing market's coming back. A lot of young kids are because they're finding work, are moving out and buying houses because interest rates are so low and yada, yada. And that was one of the things he was saying is that is an important thing about being opening up the job market for those who are younger.
Yep.
So, and that's what I was thinking about that Paul Ryan line that he thought was so clever about, the kids are looking at their fading Obama posters in their parents' basement.
No, they're getting out, getting jobs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Buying
point.
Houses.
Things are actually getting better.
Right.
All right.
What does that mean for us who are entering our sunset years?
Aw, thank you for including us together. Loving of you. Thank you.
I'm getting up there.
All right. Senator Lindsey Graham with another Clutch the Pearls moment.
His proposal that he offered to Boehner was literally a joke. It is a $50 billion stimulus package. It raised taxes by $1.6 trillion. It did nothing to save Social Security and Medicare.
Oh, what? Must. Oh, my thousand dollars. He's not trying to save Social Security and Medicare. I'll be on the veranda on the fainting couch with my mint julep.
Okay. One more, Lindsey Graham.
I don't think that's far from the truth with Lindsey Graham.
All right.
He's afraid of going into a progressive meeting and say, if we don't adjust the age for retirement and means test benefits for Social Security and Medicare, they're going to go bankrupt.
You with your cushy government health care and
yeah.
what it.
Whatever.
Please.
Yeah, why don't you give that up?
I'm going to give him the number of that woman whose husband lays brick in Chicago and see how if he wants to do that till he's 67.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
All right. Senator Bob.
I'll sew my fingers and ruin my manicure.
I bet that was Lindsey Graham's other job option, was laying brick. I bet you that was the other thing that he was going to do.
His hands have seen bricks.
Of gold.
Yeah.
Okay, Senator Bob Corker.
Once you give him the rate on the top 2%, it's actually much lesser tax increase than what he's been talking about. The focus then shifts to entitlements, and maybe that puts us in a place where we actually can do something that really saves this nation. So that is, there is a growing body. I actually am beginning to believe that is the best route for us to take to, again, shift the focus where it needs to be, which is on entitlements.
Okay. However, there is not a crisis.
Right.
There is not a crisis in either Social Security or Medicare, and you're not going to fix it in 2 weeks. What you need to do is what the president said, is fix, you know, the tax rates for the 98% of us.
Exactly.
Right. Kevin McCarthy, he's a whip, you know. He's
and it's not Kevin McCarthy from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
No, Republican.
Not
that. Republican.
Okay. His body's been snatched already.
Yeah.
California.
The president says he wants tax rate because he wants revenue. Republicans already offered him the revenue.
What?
The president also says he wants a balanced approach.
Whoa.
That means 2.5 to 3 times as many spending cuts as there are to revenue. I don't think Republicans or Americans want to raise any taxes just to continue the spending in Washington.
Idiot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He is a human talking point. I saw him on Meet the Press.
Yeah, he's the bad Kevin McCarthy.
Come
he's not
on.
The good Kevin McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, by the way, I have another round of, you know, guess the quote. Who said the GOP put up a candidate that no one liked or understood and ran a campaign that no one liked or understood? A campaign animated by the idea that the indolent, grasping serfs must be kept down, even if it meant creating barriers to letting them vote. Although Stuart Stevens, the Romney strategist, now claims Mitt captured the imagination of millions and ran with a natural grace.
Wow.
There was very little chance that the awkward gazillionaire was ever going to be president, yet strangely, Republicans are still gobsmacked by their loss, grasping at straws like Sandy as an excuse. Who said that?
Tom Morello.
No! Maureen Dowd. See, it's the same piece that I lost civilization in the New York Times. It's amazing you messed that up again, Jim. All right, let's try one more time. Who would have ever thought that blacks would get out and support the first black president? Who would have ever thought women would shy away from the party of transvaginal probes? Who would ever have thought gays would work against a party that treated them as immoral and subhuman? Who would ever have thought young people would desert a party that ignored science and hectored on social issues? Who would ever have thought Latinos would scorn a party that expected them to finish up their chores and self-deport? Republicans know they're in trouble when W emerges as the moral voice of the party. The former president lectured the GOP about being more benevolent toward immigrants. Who said that?
Bill Cosby.
No.
10,000 blue grunkies over the table. Ah. What's the Cupid?
Hmm? No.
No, that'd be Maureen Dowd.
Right.
Same article.
So close.
Good. Okay, one last time. You're just really so bad at this. Gun sales have burgeoned since the president's re-election, with Black Friday weapons purchases setting records as the dead-enders rush to arm themselves. But history will no doubt record that withering Republicans were finally wiped from the earth in 2016 when the relentless and rested conquistadora Hillary marched in, General Bill on a horse behind her, and finished them off. Who said that?
Dick Morris.
No, that was a really bad guess. Maureen Dowd. Goodbye of the Republican Party. All right. We have Julie Bolser of The Advocate coming up to talk about DOMA and the Supreme Court taking up Prop 8 and DOMA as well as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce, by the way, rescheduled for tomorrow. He has a sad. He has a sick today.
He has a sick.
Yeah, he went to the doctor.
I think he's sad. I think he's just sick.
Well. He's has both.
Yes. Okay.
All right. He will join us tomorrow. He said he had some great stuff this week.
Yeah.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like, James did from Kansas City. Stephen Mooks, talking about sexy liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Longtime listener on the KTLK Los Angeles feed on iHeartRadio from Kansas City.
Yay.
Makes starting my day a whole lot better. No station in Kansas City because there's no market for progressive talk in the place, the home state to the late Democrat President Harry Truman, and the state that elected a dead guy over the soaring eagle John Ashcroft.
Yeah.
Mel Carnahan. How about making Kansas City the Midwest spot for sexy liberal? Westboro is right down the road in Topeka. Maybe a few of their hate zombies will see the light. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. Didn't they protest one of our shows? Which one was it? Yeah, they did.
Seattle.
Yes, they protested one of the sexy liberals. They're spectacular.
And they took
I brought cream rinse for them.
Oh, for
yeah.
Shirley Phelps Roper?
Right, because I'm a helper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
The big one is coming up. I just booked the second huge surprise celebrity guest for panel for the D.C. one.
Oh. It's a new year and time for a new inauguration.
And the President of the United States is once again Barack Obama.
Time for a new sexy liberal.
All right, sir, I guess I'll just have to speak to the people of my state from right here.
No, a new sexy liberal show.
January 19th. Inauguration weekend in our nation's capital at the Warner Theater. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour makes its 2013 debut.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve
them. Featuring Hal Sparks.
I have a lot of liberal friends who love this country enough to vote almost every other election. And
John Fugelsang.
Cable news, it should be called the stuff they air between Viagra and Cialis ads.
Aisha Tyler.
And now more bourbon, bitch, I'm thirsty.
And the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you dirty sleep. Lazy, sexy liberals. God bless you.
The long-awaited Washington, D.C. Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Warner Theater, January 19th.
Yahoo! Oh, my God. Audience is going to lose their when they see the two surprise celebrity guests on panel.
I know.
It's going to be a liberal orgasm.
I can't wait to meet the two of them.
Right?
Because I've never met the two of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that in one case. Oh, in person, you mean.
In
okay.
person.
Interesting. All right, that's
enough. I think we just dropped a hint there.
That's enough hints.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Bill in Arlington, Virginia, fine American.
Okay.
Right, Steph. I have in the past occasionally voted for Republicans and would do so again if I could find one who was even remotely rational and honest. Alas, I'm afraid, like the dodo and the dinosaur, they have slipped into the mists of the past forever. Today's version of conservatism must have Barry Goldwater and your dad shaking their heads in disbelief. I met Senator Goldwater when I was working at a restaurant he used to frequent in D.C. during the late 70s. He had a standing reservation for Tuesday nights, and as the bar manager, I got to talk to him on several occasions. He was gracious and quite funny man, not at all what I'd expected. I often thought these days that he would not be welcome in the GOP of today. For one thing, he was his own man and would certainly not march in lockstep and parrot the party line that these clowns are so happy to do nowadays. I seldom agreed with him, but I came to respect him. The Republican Party has become the party of snake oil and mobile oil.
Hey!
Which is with money as its only god. A pity because we really do need two parties for balance in Washington. Bill in Arlington, Virginia. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
To shoot the breeze with Barry Goldwater because he was funny. Just saying. All right. This one is, not really a love letter, kind of a perv letter.
Oh.
Randy, you can't.
Randy. Get it?
He's Randy.
Yeah!
You can't fool me, Stephanie Miller. I want you to know I'm on to you. This whole quote-unquote lesbian thing isn't fooling me. I see the way you look at Chris.
Oh, okay.
That, trust me, that is not... Okay. It's the same kind of hatred that you have in a marriage, but not...
There's a whole lasagna and of layers been, wrong with
right,
what
Right, and
what
I
that,
have been known to say, Mir, I'll fire you, but I was kidding, as you know.
Well, yeah.
You might have the rest of your fans fooled, but I'm not falling for it anymore. You think making believe you want to marry Jackie Schechner is all you need to say to make us think you like the ladies. Well, I see right through you. Oh, and the other thing, I saw you playing with your hair like I asked you to. That is so hot. I just like to play with my hair, but okay, Randy, it's for you.
Is he a hair fetishist? Because can you turn the foot fetishist on?
Right, yeah. That is so hot. That's the other way I know you like men, because I'm a man. Why else would you do it?
That makes total sense.
Sure. Maybe I was just born this way that I like to play with my hair. By the way, you look hot in black, like a sexy liberal temptress waiting to pounce on her prey. Do that more. Oh, and the hair thing, too. Love you, Stephanie Miller. Randy. There you go, Randy. There you go.
Don't encourage them. Don't encourage them.
You're right. I encourage the foot fetishists.
You really do.
It took me years to get rid of them.
Now, what happened there? Tell the story.
They saw your hideous toe.
When I had my disastrous late night TV show in the 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
They asked you to take your feet off.
My
shoes off. I'm tired.
Just take off
in a box full of
my
ice.
Prosthetic foot. Ow!
Be like seven. Open the box.
It's a foot.
That's okay.
Yeah, but they asked you to take your shoes off, and you obliged them.
Right.
Ooh, why?
Yeah, I don't know. That became a whole thing on the interwebs. Okay.
They didn't really have interwebs.
Well, all right.
Then.
Tommy in Columbus. Well, you're going to take out your organ for me because he has a lot of people. Noticing this white hot electricity between us.
Between you and me? Or you and Tommy?
Ugh. You and me.
Oh, God!
What?
Steph, hearing the hurt in your voice when talking about how you will be left alone at the altar when gay marriage becomes the law of the land, I've come up with a perfect solution. Mrs. Stephanie LaBoy.
No.
The reason's perfectly obvious.
No.
Well, I guess it's fairly obvious to everybody. Steph and Chris have been a couple for longer than most people stay married. Not because we want to.
Kind of been forced
to. We need each other in such a horrible, toxic, cyclical way.
And I need the paycheck.
You're one of my paid friends.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. Stephanie,
I just have to show up at the occasional party and I'm in good.
That's always so touching. You'll go, we have to come and you'll fire up. Stephanie and Chris already know how to touch each other's buttons and really piss each other off. That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner could give Stephanie away. Shelley Wright, Melissa Etheridge, Hal Sparks can do the music for free. Always good.
Sure.
That French restaurant in North Carolina can do the catering.
Bouchon. In Asheville.
Uh-huh. It'd be the first gay wedding with its own bark. We could have it in Sheboygan. Rocky Mountain Mike can do the wedding promos for free.
For free.
The operative thing.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin, John Fugelsang can do the vows. Jim Ward, we get the slow dance with Melissa Fitzgerald.
Okay, then.
He finds a startling amount of pictures of Melissa Fitzgerald online to send to you. I don't know. It's a little bit
She's
creepy.
A hottie. She's a hottie.
She's smoking hot.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with her and fellow hottie Jackie Schechner this weekend.
Yes, you are.
Well, okay. Oh, and there she is. Let's see. Oh, Steph and Chris could take separate honeymoons, and then Jackie Schechner with a few drinks in her might be a lot of fun. Oh, trust me. Jackie Schechner with a lot of drinks. Whoa.
With a couple of fortinis?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Slip a roofie in there. You never know what's going to happen.
I don't think you need a roofie.
Excuse me, Jim.
What are you talking about
our news goddess? Jackie, call us now to defend. I will defend your honor. All right. So now,
Jim.
What?
All right. Okay. This Julie Bolser from The Advocate, New York correspondent for The Advocate, coming up at 8:30. This is interesting. This may be a J'accuse situation.
J'accuse.
Yeah. In 2003, Justice Scalia saw gay marriage coming.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Will the Supreme Court rule in favor of marriage equality when it takes up defense of marriage next spring? One justice warned nearly a decade ago, like it would be a bad thing, that the court had already paved the way to do just that. Antonin Scalia. Ha ha! J'accuse!
After you read this, I'm going to tell you what he said yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is interesting. In the landmark 2003 decision, the court ruled that states may not outlaw sodomy among consenting adults of the same sex. The minority dissent, Lawrence versus Texas, right? In the 6-3 ruling was authored by Justice Scalia.
That's right.
Who argued the court's reasoning effectively, if not explicitly, knocked down the legal basis for outlawing gay marriage. Oh, no! What if that were to happen? today's opinion dismantles the structure of constitutional law that has permitted a distinction to be made between heterosexual and homosexual unions insofar as formal recognition in marriage is concerned. Justice Anthony Kennedy's majority opinion said the court's ruling against anti-sodomy laws does not involve whether government must give formal recognition to any relationship that homosexual persons seek to enter. Scalia's retort, do not believe it. We're going down a slippery slope. He wrote, this case does not involve the issue of homosexual marriage, only if one entertains the belief that principle and logic have nothing to do with the decisions of the court. He accused the majority on the court of taking sides in the culture war and having signed on to the homosexual agenda.
God. Yeah.
The people may feel that it's all legalese,
right.
but it's interesting. So 10 years later, mm-hmm. as they point out, public opinion has obviously shifted dramatically in support of marriage equality. So Scalia, in his dissent, sought to counter the majority's decree by outlawing that outlawing gay sex serves no legitimate state interest, in part by warning this reasoning leaves on pretty shaky ground state laws limiting marriage to opposite sex couples.
Oh no!
You might be hoisted on your own horn. Wouldn't that be something?
But then he took a few steps back yesterday, but when he spoke to a law class, and he said, "If we cannot have moral feelings about homosexuality, can we have it against murder? Can we have it against other things?"
Sure.
Yeah, homosexuality, same as murder.
Murder. Right. Yeah. Because, you know, murder doesn't involve two consenting adults.
You are a disgrace in a robe, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now you're going to get
now
it,
you
Jim.
Get it.
Yeah. Here she is, journalist and goddess, Jackie Schechner.
Jim?
Jackie, I am defending your honor. I have no idea what Jim meant
Jim
by that.
Jim signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Jim, what happened after Mama went to bed at her last party?
I had to leave early.
Yes, this is what happens when we, you know, mix work and play. I don't know. Jim just blurts things out.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what he was referring to, but if I had a good time, it'd be good if somebody let me know.
All right. We will, you know what? We'll just make up some stuff when we have our little girl party this weekend. We're going to a play of Melissa Fitzgerald, Jackie, and I.
Other Desert Cities at the Mark Taper Forum.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this. I haven't seen a lot of theater here in L.A., with the exception of the Sexy Liberal Show.
I don't know
if that counts as theater.
I was not aware we had theater or a public transportation system.
We have very good theater, and yes, you can take the red line to the Mark Taper Forum.
Oh, my God!
Steph.
I'm excited.
She's trying to find a way to not drive.
Exactly.
I hate driving.
On the rare occasion she leaves her house, she tries not to actually have to drive herself anywhere.
No, exactly. All right, honey, I will, you know what, we'll just, whatever you do this weekend, I'm giving you blanket, you know, I won't tell Jim a thing.
Oh, that is so not true.
All right, I'll tell him everything. But then... All right, love you. See
love you.
You.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Goodbye. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie LaVoy Show.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm not sure.
Bam. Bam. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It is the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days. Check it out. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. Won't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, let's see. This is a huge fan with a question. Mama, a huge fan. Listen to you daily. My question was listening one of your old shows amongst your witty political takes. All of a sudden, a sound almost like a belch hit the air. I assume it was Chris or Jim or one of the guys, but a girlfriend of mine said it was you. If this is true, I was wondering if this has ever been captured on tape, because this belch was the stuff of legend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
That was great.
That was stuff.
Yeah.
She doesn't need SodaStream to burp like that.
No. She just does it.
Yep. I believe you had captured some of them on tape
over the
years.
Yeah, I've captured a few of them.
You should do a belch montage.
Well, I don't know if I've saved them.
Newman in New York City. You're on the... Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman. Hi, Newman in New York.
I love it because that's the greeting I get every time I walk
out.
Yeah, for sure.
Never gets old. Go ahead.
You know what I really appreciate is that mirage music that you have with respect to Republicans and how they try to hypnotize people. I think they're actually trying to...
What do you mean? Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to speak a little bit about this right to work. The Republican philosophy is that they want to stand up for the people. They want to raise the standard of living to the average American and all of these things. But if your union busts, how is a person going to make an honest living?
Right.
Actually, all it does is a reverse effect. The less money people make, the less money people have to stimulate the economy.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. You are the smartest boy in class.
You're not
making money,
you can't spend money.
You get a Pro Flowers gift code for $100. How about that for being the smartest boy in class?
Well,
seriously. All right, seriously, hang on. T-Bone, get his number.
T-Bone.
For the perfect gift this holiday season, go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone, and type in Stephanie. There you go. He gets a $100 ProFlowers gift
code. Well, would you look at that?
One a day for the best phone call.
That's right.
Yay. Okay, Judy in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Hello. How are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm a first-time caller.
Uh-huh.
and I'm from the wonderful state of Texas.
Uh-huh.
Jackie Schechner at the beginning of the hour mentioned that they had extended the fixing the Obamacare, and of course our governor has already said no way to this.
Yeah.
And for a state that prides itself on independence, he's letting the government do it.
Yeah, isn't that something, Judy? That is in the Isn't It Ironic file. That, you know, because they hate Obama so much and they don't want to help him with anything, now the government's going to run it, which is exactly what they say they're against.
I know. Yeah. Hopefully he's up for re-election and we can make him go away.
I hope so. I feel bad for the people that, you know, out of political spite, you know, they're hurting their own people just to make a point. Let's go to Dana in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Hi.
I wanted to tell Chris about the DC show. He did kind of give a little hint. He said, I think I've already given a hint. He did.
All right. All right. We have two huge surprise celebrity guests on panel.
Yeah, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Get to your point.
Okay. So, and I also wanted to say how funny they are when you're doing Right Wing World, like just them saying, oh, shut up, or Jim saying, idiot.
That's all Jim does.
It's really fun. Okay. So, my point is
it's Mystery Science Insult Theater.
Chris, you beat me to it about Scalia. That's what my phone call was about, what he said yesterday.
Right.
Disgusting.
Yeah, equating homosexuality with murder.
Equating homosexuality to murder.
And by the way, Dana, of all the disgusting things people have compared homosexuality to, is that not the worst? And he's a Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, especially when the murder rates in this country, you know, are so out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, he is just, they're just evil, awful people.
And there's a huge difference. Murder is not between two consenting adults.
No,
relationship is.
Exactly. It scares me, and I was sort of wondering if you guys are a little worried or you're feeling confident.
That's the farthest right guy.
I don't think
there.
Anybody has any illusions as to how Scalia is going to vote on
right.
this.
No, exactly. I know. I just feel a little nervous about those right middlemen.
What, Dana? That's why you need to stay tuned, because Julie Bolser from The Advocate is coming up at the bottom of the hour.
I love her, and I read The Advocate because, you know, I have a gay brother-in-law and his husband and my nephew.
Good. I've just dragged you into doing a tease. Congratulations.
You did that for free. Merry holidays, everyone.
All right.
You too.
All right, Julie Bolser next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
In a sex, lies, puberty, betrayal, relay races,
Stephanie Miller
reflects the drama of the human experience. And isn't that the essence of art?
Relay races?
Friggin' not. Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Well, what better timing? Dana in Maryland worried about the Supreme Court after Scalia's comments yesterday. Who better to join us than Julie Bolser of the Advocate, New York correspondent. Good morning, Jules. Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Hi, Jules.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I'm sure you've heard what, and then Scalia yesterday, that of all the things I've heard being gay compared to murder, that's a new one.
Well, it is a new one. Unfortunately, I don't know that it's the first time that someone has probably made that comparison, but for someone on the court, I do believe that that is a first.
Yeah, he's a disgrace, in my opinion. He's like a Fox News talking point. He's not, I mean, I couldn't believe during even the Affordable Care arguments, literally they were talking points you'd hear from somebody on right-wing radio, right?
Yeah, I certainly think that you could draw some analogies there. So, very shocking comments, yes.
But, you know, you have to wonder if that may be part of the, you know, when you look at the way John Roberts ruled, if that will happen again here, because he doesn't want this court to be seen as hyper-partisan. I mean, Scalia really was injecting political talking points into that argument. So what do you think how this is going to play out?
Well, I think that there, you know, I would say that it is a moment probably that brings more apprehension for LGBT advocates than maybe on the surface. I don't know if with other people that you've talked to, if, you know, the feeling is one of outright euphoria and enthusiasm for the court to be looking at this question, particularly in the Proposition 8 case, you know, where that question could be looked at very broadly about a federal constitutional right to marry. But, you know, certainly behind the scenes, vaccines, I think people do feel more nervous about that prospect than they may have been letting on. And I certainly think that the comments from Justice Scalia give you an indication as to why. So there is a lot at stake, and adding those kinds of remarks into the mix, I think only serve to highlight and to exacerbate the fears that exist about the court taking up that question.
Right, but Julie, I think the one thing that interestingly though, I mean, the story I was just doing was in 2003, Justice Scalia saw gay marriage coming inadvertently in his dissent in the sodomy case, Lawrence versus Texas. Mm-hmm. He basically said this opens the door to homosexual marriage. I mean, of course, not meaning it to be a good thing, but legally, I actually think he's right.
I think with you also mentioned Justice Roberts. You do have to consider his concern for his legacy here. I think that as he matures as a Chief Justice, and looking down the road, there is the question of where is this court going to be in history and his place as the Chief Justice. So reining in those kinds of comments from Justice Scalia and where the court will ultimately be in history, I think is going to be a concern for him as things progress.
Well, it was a piece in the LA Times about that, Julie. I talked to, Rob Reiner and to Chris Perry and Sandy Steer yesterday, all of whom are very optimistic and very elated by this. I mean, they really feel optimistic. Where are you on it?
As I said, I synthesize a lot of information from people that I talk to. I think that the feeling from my sources, from advocates, is there is the front feeling, which is the optimism and the good face and the positive face and the positive foot forward. But I think there is, if we go back to when the case was first filed, this is the challenge to Proposition 8. You may recall that there was a really significant internal debate with some legal advocates saying, no, that's not the way we'd want to go. We don't want the court looking at that question. But then in the meantime, I think more progress has happened on the state level with legislatures passing marriage bills and then with the referendums being successful. So what was a hesitancy of having the court ever look at the question was tempered, I think, somewhat by all these developments that have happened more quickly than anyone thought in the past year and a half. And now the court is already looking at the question. But I do think people still go back to, that fundamental fear that maybe the time isn't right yet for the court to be looking at it.
The too far, too fast, argument like that some made on about Roe v. Wade and all that. But, Julie, I think that you make a good point that this is happening at record pace, more so than in any, I think, civil rights battle. And I think, somebody made the point that it was because, the difference is more and more people obviously have learned that they know somebody gay, that they love somebody gay, whereas obviously they were saying in the civil rights movement, you didn't suddenly discover someone's black, so.
Right.
But I think that, as you say, they do look at politics. They are looking at the same polling we are. They do look at the arc of history. And say a Kennedy might have the chance to do the, Brown versus Board of Education of our generation. I think there is something to be said.
Sure. I mean, one, certainly not me, would presume to read the minds of the justices. And I mean, we don't know, who voted to take up the Proposition 8 case, right? At least four justices have to be supportive of it coming on board. Could it have been, for example, four liberal justices thinking that Kennedy, the presumed swing vote, might be with them? Or could it have been four conservative justices opposed to marriage equality, presuming that Kennedy, the swing vote, might be with them? But I think that the court, despite being, above the fray, as it were, the reality is that it is, it interacts with the political realities and it interacts with the world. So it is standoffish, but, it cannot help but be affected by those things that are happening around us.
The other thing is, what Chris was just quoting Scalia is saying yesterday, not only is it, to me, a repulsive thing to say, it makes no legal sense.
Right.
Being gay, regardless of what he may think about it, is not illegal. Murder is illegal. You can't, it doesn't even have a, I'm just seeing less and less legal reasoning for ruling against equal rights, aren't you?
I think so, and I think what is most potentially chilling about the remarks is then, you say regardless of what he may think, but what does it then tell us about what Justice Scalia thinks and the fact that he will be looking at, these cases, and we're talking, of course, I think in particular about the Proposition 8 case, whereas with the Defense of Marriage case, I think people have much more optimistic feelings with two federal appeals courts, already voting to strike that down. But the then what does it tell us about, you know, what is going through a justice's mind when that kind of remark is said? So,
well, I think, you know, what it goes to legally, you know, I think is what we've stumbled on here, and this is what happened in the Prop 8 case out here in California. With murder, it's pretty clear what the harm is. They could not prove what the harm is out here legally, right? I mean, isn't that what this the crux of this case is? Where is the harm? Where is the harm?
In that it makes some people feel oogie.
Right. Oogie, well, a legal basis?
Exactly. And in fact, I think that was a rationale which was used in arguments recently in Nevada, where there was a challenge against that in federal district court against Nevada state constitutional ban. And the judge upheld the ban, and that is has now gone to appeal. And I think the people who want to uphold that constitutional amendment, in fact, already appealed to the Supreme Court, you may have heard, last week. But part of that federal judge's ruling in arguments was that, you know, people who are heterosexual couples may be, I think, less inclined to get, you know, married if they know that the institution is open to same-sex couples.
You sort of implied it, Julie, but obviously I know a lot of people are. You're much more hopeful about DOMA or feel more, I mean, a lot of people I've heard have said they think that's a slam dunk.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that because I think with the court, you know, we have to be open to anything. And again, I wouldn't presume to say what is in a justice's mind, although when a justice makes remarks such as have been recently, then we are, you know, we know what is in the justice's mind because they have said so. So what they are thinking and, you know, what they will ultimately do, that anything can happen. But there's a good reason to feel optimistic about Defense of Marriage Act case, if only because of the two, you know, federal appeals court rulings. And then I think, you know, one can also find it very interesting because the court will also be presented with the question of the level of scrutiny that laws that affect gay and lesbian people should be subjected to. In this case, they, you know, the justices in the Second Circuit, the judges in the Second Circuit, said that you have to heighten that scrutiny. You better have a very, very strong reason when you have a law that discriminates against gay and lesbian people. So in the midst of that, we may also, you know, come to the Supreme Court weighing in on that very important question.
Okay. Well, I I'm happy clappy is my normal state, and I remain happy clappy about our chances in the Supreme Court. Although that was after several phone calls to Robin Michelle Reiner.
Well, yes.
Are we there? Okay.
And they would have every reason, I think, to feel very optimistic, and their legal team does. And I mean, it's been a great amount of work. And as Ted Olson had told reporters on a conference call last week, it's gratifying, you know, and it is because the court is taking up this question. I mean,
Julie,
they have granted it their time.
When I read his piece in Newsweek, the conservative case for gay marriage, I went, that's where I thought we crossed the tipping point. And then when I was reading this week that, you know, somebody wrote the religious case for gay marriage, and the majority of not just Americans, Julie, but Roman Catholics, Protestants are for marriage equality now. So, I mean, I think Rob is right that we have crossed that tipping point, and I hope that is the case in the spring. Julie, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much, and we will obviously check in as this all rolls along.
Yes, I think mixed feelings would sum up what I'm
that
hearing.
Is it.
Okay.
That is it. In closing, mixed feelings.
All right.
Thanks, Jules.
Thanks,
all right.
Julie.
Bye, Jules. All right.
We're entitled to life, liberty, and freedom from ooginess.
I was just going to say, is there someone could call us? Is there
it's
a
in the de-
lawyer
Declaration
listening?
Of constitutionalness.
Is oogie an actual legal term? I think it might be. What is the degree
of ooginess?
Of ooginess?
E pluribus ooginum.
It makes me feel oogie. Okay. All right. Oh, you know the thing we posted on my Facebook page, when was it, yesterday? I thought, because, you know, being ridiculed for being different in every way, it's the same. Bullying is bullying, whether however you're perceived different, gay. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was this Britain's Got Talent thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I challenge you to watch it and not cry. It's this overweight kid, and you can see the looks on people's faces, and they're like laughing at him, and then he has this unbelievable voice, and it's hard not to be, but just talking about not judging people.
Yeah, kind of, it's, you know, kind of like a Susan Boyle type of situation.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, go watch it on my Facebook page.
He doesn't sound fat.
Okay. He's like a Pavarotti. His voice is like, he's
beautiful.
Like 17. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he looks like a stoner.
Well, Pavarotti was, no, shrinking violet, willow-like. Still, like, you know what I'm saying.
Speaking of which, Gawker brings us the story. Did you hear this? Women called fat girls on restaurant receipt.
Yeah.
Nice.
Gawker writes, how much longer must we go on receiving insulting nicknames on our receipts before Congress steps in and does something? Stockton, California, Christine Duran and her two friends were dining at Chili D's restaurant. I got the bill. I was looking at it. I was like, why does this receipt say fat girls? When she asked a manager for an explanation, he had a smirk on his face like it was funny. And he was trying.
There's a reason Stockton is bankrupt.
You know what? In the words of Tom Kenny, don't be a It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. Just saying. All right. We should play that in honor of that guy.
Okay.
All right. When we come back, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere, Mason in Ohio. Hi, Mason. Hello, Mason.
Hey, good morning, sunshine. How you doing?
Good morning, moonshine.
I was up at the butt crack of dawn this morning watching CNBC because they were broadcasting live from D.C. about the fiscal cliff.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, who do they have on live in D.C. but Grover Norquist.
Gross.
Isn't he just so yummy? You just hit him with a bat.
Oh, no. Stephanie Miller, sorry. Did you get that newsbuster? No, yeah. We do not.
We're not recommending hitting him with a bat. However, if he were to fall into a bathtub and accidentally drown himself, that would be funny.
That would be ironic.
Ironic. Mm. Actually ironic.
Yeah.
Unlike a flying shark,
which is
just gross.
I somehow keep hearing Rock Lobster in my head. There goes the Norquist. Okay. All right. Oh, looky here. It's a hate letter from someone named Jeff. Hey, Steph. I don't actually watch your show.
Well, then...
It's always interesting how people have thoughts that don't watch. Oh, by the way, Jeff, you can watch again. As soon as we end in 10 minutes, they're going to re-air the show.
You can not watch it for another 3 hours.
Unless you're watching the re-aired version, and then we're not going to...
Right. Well, we're on 6 hours, Jeff, so there's a lot of us because we're incredibly popular. Thanks to people like you that don't watch but have thoughts about it. Hey, Steph, I don't actually watch your show. It's just the cable company has your show sandwiched between two channels with relevant shows. Oh, ouch, Jeff. Kind of like you have your head sandwiched between you left and your right butt cheek. Even spelled butt wrong.
Wow.
What kind of butt spells butt wrong? B-U-T?
Yikes.
Really?
Homeschooled much?
Two T's. Stephanie Miller Show apologizes to homeschoolers. Okay.
He spelled it like the conjunction, not like the body part.
Anyway, I just wanted to say hi and ask if you realize how much more valuable you would be to our society if you laid on your back and let pimple face boy experience the joys of sex. I mean, really, don't you think some of those boys could actually become productive and add to the common welfare? Of course, some may not be socialistic and might in fact be materialistic, but you understand that, don't you? Anyway, good luck.
Socialistic.
Oh, so thank you for your thoughts.
Expialidocious. Yeah.
Run along now to some relevant show.
All right.
Thanks for checking in.
That was a waste of time.
I just for the spelling butt wrong, it was worth it.
You butt cheek.
You stupid. Okay, Jackie alerted us who Orly Tate is calling for an 80,000 person White House protest because 80,000 people have apparently watched her video.
Yep, sure.
And she writes all in caps, in which you can almost hear the accent. A milestone now. Let me finish. Over 80,000 people watch a video clip. Me testifying in New Hampshire Election Commission. 80,000 people demonstrating before the White House or Capitol building or federal building can make a difference.
No, just because 80,000 people watched your video doesn't mean that 80,000 people support you.
She thinks there's 80,000 birthers that are going to show up.
Yeah, no, no. Most of those probably were kind of pointing and laughing.
I love Wilson Squirrel. Okay.
And one guy might have been 50 of them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You thought she was hot when she was in here. You were, you know. Like, I tapped that.
Oh, God. Now you're going to get a cease and desist from her.
That's a compliment. she doesn't want him to cease and desist.
I don't think there's a woman out there alive who would like to hear, I tap that.
Jim's kind of hot when Jim says it.
I didn't say
says it
that
to me in the
so
elevator.
Many words,
all right. Okay. Jim.
Not unattractive.
Dick Army.
Yes.
Not you.
Venus Air Force.
Yes.
Schmeckle Coast Guard?
Yeah. He says Tea Party candidates lost 2012 because leaders of the Republican Party didn't stop them from saying dumb things.
Yeah, that's your problem.
Maybe picking dumb candidates is your problem. Yeah. Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch, he said, lost because the Republican Party didn't teach them to keep their opinions about rape to themselves. I see. I don't think the Republican Party schooled their candidates very well or supported, I don't think.
Now, here's
the
problem that you need to school them in ways like that.
Yeah. We had at least two candidates that should have won that frankly lost because they said stupid things on a subject their party's leader should have schooled them to stay away from in the first place.
Hmm. Just don't speak. Don't speak. No, don't speak. That should have been the advice.
I am curious if he's going back to his original name now that he's left Freedom Works.
Schwanz.
Coast Guard. Schwanz Coast Guard.
I'm Penis Air Force.
All right. Has anyone ever noticed that Barbara Walters seems like a bit of a trollop?
Yeah, she got a little freaky.
She got a little saucy.
Yeah.
Saucy wench.
The Gawker describes her as Emmy Award winner, lady in the street, freak in the sheets, Barbara Walters.
Wow.
She's freak in the bed, not the sheets. Stated she started to share a story about her own forays into the world of the insanely popular novel Fifty Shades of Grey.
Ah.
She said, I can remember a time I was in college and I would pretend... And then, just as things were about to get good, Whoopi Goldberg jumped in.
Oh, come on, Whoopi!
Block.
Buzzkill.
Oh. She blocked Barbara Walters. She said, Page Six is listening. And Barbara said, I would pretend to be a sweep. I was not chained up. Oh, now I need to know what she's talking about.
The mind
she
reels.
She pretended to be sleeping. Be very, very quiet. I'm sleeping. What are you doing?
What
is happening?
Please stop it.
Oh,
no,
please.
Don't stop.
Oh, no.
Don't.
Oh,
stop.
Yeah.
Don't. Stop.
What's it like to hear that voice in bed? Oh, that's very, very good.
More than a waff.
Very, very good. Okay. Beyonce has signed a $50 million Pepsi deal.
Yikes.
In other
Does
news,
she have to drink $50 million worth of Pepsi?
In other news, I get 50 cents to tell you how much I love SodaStream, and I'm happy to do it.
I think you got a free SodaStream, actually.
I did.
Okay, there you go.
I'm happy to do it. It's a much better product and more environmentally friendly. So take that, Beyonce. Okay. Who would ever have thought...
If you like Pepsi so much, put a ring on it.
Yeah, if you liked it, why don't you put a ring on it, Beyonce? I once cried to that song. You know your life has taken a wrong turn when you're crying to dance music.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
After a breakup, you can't listen to any music. You know what I'm saying?
I can see.
You really
believe
can.
Me, I know. Yeah.
Candyman? Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
come
candy.
On. Candyman?
Okay. I don't know.
Candyman can.
Charlie Sheen. Who would have ever thought Lindsay Lohan is rude?
Huh.
Charlie Sheen says she never thanked him for the $100,000 he gave her to pay her taxes.
Really?
Not a text, not a nothing.
Huh.
He's lucky she didn't run him over.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Charlie Pierce, tomorrow, been rescheduled for tomorrow.
And Hump Days with Hal.
Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, and much more. We'll think of something else before then. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Bucky Beaver, his sidekick, Bucky the Christmas Beaver, Jackie, Courtney, Shelby, everybody at the current control center. We'll see you tomorrow.
Shelby.
Right. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.